because I would like this to be fully recorded. Well, good morning. I trust that you will be blessed. Take two. You get a double portion. That is actually a scripture that the Lord called me into ministry on, Isaiah 61. He's blessed his people and he wants to anoint us and equip us. So I use the word calling, and I'll use it in the context of usually when we as Christians, anyone listening to me who's in the room and those that are online and those that we trust will listen to this message in the future, because that's what we have to believe, that God will use all things in our armament. When we think about the word called, we tend to equate it with leadership. We tend to equate it with those that, particularly in church life, in ministry life, those that have a platform ministry. And we know that if God calls us, then he will sustain us, yes? If he calls us, he will provide for us, yes? If he calls us, he will guide us and direct us and correct us. And so often, as I was praying and thinking about this message today, I think so often we as Christians think that when someone is called, it's them and it's not us. You see, I'll give you the whole message in 2 seconds, but you're not going to get away with that because I'm then going to go on and bring some scripture to explain it. But you are called. So all the things that you would expect of a platform minister or someone in ministry, when you say they're called to do this, then you're called to do what God's called you to do as well. And I want to just bring some scriptures in Galatians 1 verse 6. This is Paul speaking, and he's speaking to churches that he had the privilege of preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ to. He speaking to people who were Christians, and he said this: I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion. Those people were called Judaizers, and they're trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. And then he goes on to say, even if an angel from heaven preached a different gospel, you shouldn't listen to him. And what Paul is saying here is this: you heard the message when you was called. So he's not talking to the leadership here, he's talking to ordinary men and women like us. When we were called in relation to the gospel of Jesus Christ, we know from that moment on there has been things we watch, things we hear, things we listen to that have tried to pull us away from the true gospel. We may not call them Judaizers, but a Judaizer would do this. They would say to the congregation who have been called by Jesus Christ according to the gospel, you need to follow Jesus as Savior and Lord. Is that true? We agree. Then they would say, have you heard about the law? No. What do you mean? Well, you need to put your trust in Jesus and you need to do this. Oh, we didn't know that. So Paul was talking to a people that had been called. And I want to suggest today that you've been called, and you and I were not to listen to the false teachers. We're not to listen to things that sound good but they're not part of the gospel, because we're called. And because we're called, God will equip you, he will equip me, he will equip us. So I want to encourage you in Romans 8 verse 28. We know that in all things, not just some, all things, God works for the good of those who love him. That's good news, isn't it? So we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. Thank you. And have been called according to his purpose. So you've been called according to his purpose, haven't you? You have. So he's talking to you. All things work together for the good. And we may not see the good at the time, but when we look back, we can see the good, can't we? We know that God disciplines the ones he loves. And I don't know about you, but the times where I say to the Lord, please don't love me anymore. I've had enough of your love. He disciplines the ones he loves. but we've been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined. You see, some people, they trip up on that word predestined. So are you saying that God had purposed those that would be saved and those that wouldn't? Well, should I put it this way? God had a plan. And his plan included me and you. His plan included all those that would hear his voice. All those that he calls out to. And all those that respond. You see, God has a plan the same as we have plans. It's okay to plan for the future, isn't it? We shouldn't put our trust in the future. We shouldn't put our trust in our wealth. But we should plan. God planned. He knew the beginning from the end. He knew who you are. He knows who you are. He knows where you are. He knows where you're going. Like Zacchaeus up a tree, when he looked up, Jesus said, "Come down, Zacchaeus, I must eat with you today." He knew where he was. He knew who he was, and he knew what his need was. That's the same when we read this portion of Scripture. He predestined those to be conformed to the image of his Son, that's Jesus Christ, that he might be the firstborn amongst many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. And those he called, he also justified. Just as if I'd never sinned at all. That's what it means. Justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. You see, the truth is, when God calls us, he doesn't leave us as orphans. That's good news, isn't it? He adopts us into his family, just like I've received a new mum today. He adopts us into his family. He's given us an inheritance that he's already planned and purposed for us. So that is sealed, yes? No matter what anyone says to you or to me, if we're a child of God, nothing can pluck us from his hand. We lay hold, God lay hold. There are times that we can take our hand from his, but he won't take his hand from ours. Why? Because we've been called according to his plans and purposes. So when you think about that word called, I want you to remember that it's not just for those that have a platform ministry. It's not just for those that happen to be a professor with many names after his or her name to give them credence. It's you. You've been called according to his plan and purposes. Why? I'm glad you asked. In Romans 16 verse 17, I urge you, brothers and sisters, to watch out for those who cause divisions and put obstacles in your way. They are contrary to the teaching you have learned. Keep away from them. For such people are not serving our Lord Christ, but their own appetites, with smooth talk and flattery. They deceive the minds of naive people. What's being said here is that we as Christians, ones who have been called, we need to stay fast to the message that we was called to. And that's the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Galatians 1:1, Paul is an apostle sent. So when we look at this word apostle, apostolos, it's a sent one. So you could say that, yeah, it's okay for Paul because he was called, but he was then also sent. Jesus sent him out. Well, what did God, through Christ Jesus, say to me and you when we were called? He said, now go. So we've been called and we've been sent. So this message that we hear isn't just a message that the Lord Jesus Christ wants to give to the apostles, the people of privilege that have been given the opportunity to preach the gospel, because when we think about that, what I've just said, that's us. We've been given the privilege of preaching, proclaiming the gospel. And that's good news. That's what the gospel is. Sent not from man, nor by man, but by Jesus Christ. So I want you to remind yourself that you've been called by God. You've been sent by Christ. And God the Father, who raised him, Jesus, from the dead, and all the brothers and sisters with me to the churches of Galatia. Grace and peace to you from God and Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from this present evil age. It's relevant today. You want to know what the gospel is if you've never heard the gospel? And so often it's easy to look around a room and think to ourselves, well, we're all Christians, we're all followers of Christ. But do you know that we're all in different stages of our walk? And there'll be people that listen to this who have never heard the call. So we need to speak to them as well as to us, don't we? We need to... I remember Julian saying to me many years ago, and he's too old to remember now, that we preach the gospel and it goes out. It will go out, and that's what we're doing today. We're preaching the gospel because we know it will go out, and we know if it goes out, it will come back, producing a harvest 30, 60, and 100 times. Who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from this present evil age. That's why Jesus came, to rescue us from our sins, to rescue us from ourselves, according to the will of our God and Father. You see, God had a plan. To whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. God had a plan. He had a purpose. He understood the sin in man's heart. He understood our weaknesses. He understood the things that we understand. And he called to us. And many of us, if not all of us in this room, we heard his voice and we responded. But the next bit, maybe we don't hear so easily. Once he called us by saying, come. Ken brought it last week. All those that are weary, come. All those that are thirsty, come and drink. All those that are hungry, come and be fed. I am the bread of life. And then what he does is this. Once he brings us to himself, he then says, go. Go, take what you've been given and share it with someone else. So I want to encourage us today by understanding afresh the call on our lives. That we are co-laborers in his vineyard. We've been predestined for a purpose, and that's to share the good news. So for many years we've been in this room, and many of you have been in this room with us, week after week, Sunday after Sunday, midweek after midweek, praying and believing for such a time as this, praying and believing that this word is truth. And we know, regardless to how many hear it in the physical, there are people that will hear it in the spiritual. They will hear the call of God while they are sleeping. They will have visions and they will have dreams. We know that this word is powerful. We know that this word can change lives. We know that this truth is the truth. In Matthew 4, verse 12, when Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he withdrew to Galilee. Leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum, which was by the lake in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali, to fulfill what was said through the prophet Isaiah. The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan of Galilee to the Gentiles. The people living in darkness have seen a great light. And those living in the land of the shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. The message that Jesus was given, the message that Jesus proclaimed, is that same message he's called us to go out and preach to others. He's called us to pray for others to receive. So I don't want you to answer this question, but there is a question. Have you been called? There is an answer. It's either yes or no. If you have been called, then you belong to him. And if you have been called, then you've been sent. So today, I would like us to reaffirm the fact that, Lord, you've called me. Yes, I've heard your voice and I've accepted your truth. And I believe that you've sent me, Lord. I've been sent into the highways and the byways to preach this good news to the poor. That I want to be all that you've called me to be. In Matthew 5, verse 9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs will be the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who persecute you Blessed are those when people insult you and persecute you. These portions of scripture don't seem to make sense, do they? Blessed are you when you're persecuted. But blessed are the peacemakers. What's a peacemaker? It's somebody that makes peace. Jesus came to reconcile man to God, yes? So he became the ultimate peacemaker. And that's the greatest gift you can give someone else. To bring peace between a hostile man, a hostile humanity, and a gracious God who calls, expecting you to answer. The greatest gift we can give others is this good news of the gospel. So I want to encourage us today, as long as it's called today, that we, for such a time as this, have the privilege to minister this truth to others that have never heard it. We know what the Bible says about wars and rumours of wars, don't we? We know that there's conflict on the right and conflict on the left. We know that there's conflicts in our own families with our own friends. We know that those we think are friend are foe. Those that we think are foe are friend. It's a confusing time, isn't it? But the one thing that I can truly say that stays firm is his word. And you're called. And if God has called you, which if you call yourself a Christian, he has, that means you've heard his voice. And if you've been called and you've heard his voice, that means you know his voice. So maybe today you can say, Lord, speak to me again. Let me hear what you call me to do. Let me stand in the gap. Let me do what you've called me to do. Maybe for many years you've been wondering, what am I called to do? And you've always limited it to, well, I'm not really a children's worker. I'm not really a worship leader. I'm not really a preacher. I'm not really a teacher. I'm not really an apostle. But actually you are, because you've been sent. You've been apostolos, you've been sent ones. Jesus says, receive, now go. So God doesn't leave you as orphans. He didn't leave you powerless either. How many times have we, or those that are listening, got to the point where they've thought, if only I was as strong as that person, if only I was as tall as that person, as smart as that person, as intellectual as that person, then God could use me. That's a lie, isn't it? Because God chooses the foolish things to confound the wise. He chooses me and you. He makes us children. He adopts us. So you've been called today. I want to remind you of that. And you've been sent. For such a time as this. It doesn't matter what you didn't do last week. It doesn't matter what you didn't do last year. It doesn't matter what you didn't do when God asked you to do it. What matters is today. Today is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. There's a challenge, isn't there? Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So I want to encourage us, as I encourage myself as I read through scripture, and anyone who chooses to listen. In Romans 14 verse 19, let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification. That means to encourage one another, that you may be encouraged, that I may be encouraged, that we may bring peace. And the ultimate peace is the reconciling of man to God. You know, there may be quarrels or squabbles in families, and we might have to have a mother and a daughter and a father and a son. We might need to see reconciliation, but the ultimate peace is with God. And one of the things I suggest is a truth, a fundamental truth, is this: if we put to one side the quarrels that we have with humanity, whether it's someone who's close to us or far from us, if we put that to one side and we set our face like flint, as scripture says, and we find God, we hear God's voice, we do what he calls us to do, we read his word, we accept his bread of life, we drink his water of life, I suggest that as we have more of him, there'll be less of us, there'll be peace. There'll be peace in the family, there'll be peace in the home. So the ultimate peace that we can all strive for is peace with God. That God wants to speak to us afresh today. He wants to say, you're my son, you're my daughter, I chose you. I called you and you answered. Now I'm sending you. Leads to peace and to mutual edification. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All food is clean, but it is wrong for a person to eat anything that causes someone else to stumble. We're talking about, put it in context, we're talking about natural foods here that can cause people to stumble. But if I just put something on this that doesn't say it, but I want to use it. When we talk about spiritual food, so often we can cause others to stumble because we mistranslate what God has said. Do you know that you've been saved by grace? Through Christ alone, faith alone? The Judaizers would come in and say, you've been saved by grace through faith. Now make sure you give the right amount of money each week. Make sure you wear the right clothes to church. Make sure you say the right things in the right way. And when you pray, you need to be in a certain posture. And you need to have your hands on the floor, your head looking downwards. And you need to beat your body or whatever the law says. That's just the same in today. We understand that we've been saved by grace, and then we try and earn salvation. We get saved by grace, and then we want to do something. And I'm hoping Mike is going to share on that in the next week or two and bring afresh to us the law and grace. But for today's message, I want to say that you've been called to be peacemakers. But first of all, you've been called to make peace with God. And as you make peace with God, you hear his voice more clearly. Do you know that even when you're in a crowd where there's lots of noise, you can hear God's voice? So we need to be able to tune out the white noise and tune in to what God is saying, because we're his children, because you've been adopted, because you've been called, you answered that call, now he's sending you out. This is not a new message, is it? We've heard this maybe over the years in a different way. But I want to suggest that so often when we think about the word called, we think about someone else. They've been called to lead a church. They've been called to lead worship. They've been called to lead a study group. They've been called to fast. They've been called to pray. No, we've all been called to lead, haven't we? Because when someone else follows us, then we become leaders. If nobody follows us, then we're just going for a walk. So, come follow me, Jesus says, and I will make you fishers of men. I will send you out. So today I want to encourage you to understand that you are so precious to God that he called you. And he called you by name, is what Scripture says. He called you by name. In Matthew 18, verse 2, he called a little child to him and placed the child among them, and he placed the child among them, and he said, truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you'll never enter the kingdom of God. In other words, it's simple, this faith. Let's not complicate it. So when we go out to minister to others, we don't need to complicate the gospel, do we? See, Paul didn't complicate the gospel. Paul wasn't trained by scholars in the gospel. He was trained by the Spirit of God. What happened was this. He understood he was a sinner. And he understood Christ was a saviour. And he understood that the saviour came to save the sinner. So in other words, Paul understood that Christ came for him. And it's so often we can look around us and look at someone else and their lifestyle and we can think, God, you need to do something, a work in them. Yet if he does more of a work in us, then we will reflect more of him, won't we? And we'll do that because we've been sent. So wherever you go, whether it's shopping at the supermarket, whether it's visiting family, whether it's being silent in a situation where everyone's expecting you to speak, or whether it's speaking when everyone expects you to be silent. God can move through you because you've been called. Not only have you been called, you've been sent. And he wants us to have a childlike faith. That means Christ and Christ alone. It's not Christ and. There was a story I was told some time ago, many years ago, about a minister who had ministered to a girl over her teenage years, and she became wonderfully saved, and she understood the grace of God in her life. And then through the pressure of university, the pressure of peers around her, the pressure to conform to the pattern of the world, she left the safety of the arms of Christ and she walked into the world. And it was a sad day. And then there was an opportunity to minister to this young girl again. And here's a girl standing before this minister, on this minister's wife, and she had piercings in her nose, piercings in her ears. She had tattoos on her arms, and she had a mini skirt that was the size of a belt. And this pastor and pastor's wife ministered the grace of God to her. And she broke down in tears and she says, "Lord, I forgive me." But the sad thing was this. Once she became reunited with her Saviour, this is what the pastor and his wife said to her. "Now you're born again, you need to remove the skirt, take the piercings out and do that." What was he doing? He was becoming a Judaizer. He was saying Christ and something else. Now I suggest this, and I know I'm limited on time, but I'm going to tell a story about Emma's sister. Emma's sister, many years ago, she was a young mother with 4 children under the age of 5 when she came to rent one of our houses. And Emma said to me, "She's different." That didn't put us off because I'm different. And when she turned up, I've had this conversation with her, so I'm not saying anything that I shouldn't say. She came, she was tall, slim, had these children in tow, and she had piercings all over her face. And we started to talk to her and love her and encourage her, and we provided a home for her. And she started to ask if she could, was she allowed to come to church? And I said, "What do you mean, are you allowed to come?" "Well, you don't know my story." I said, "I don't need to." And she started to come to church. And her heart started to soften. And then over the months, the piercings started to disappear. No one ever told her she couldn't have them, because God wants the heart, doesn't he? No one said that she couldn't wear the clothes she liked to wear. No one said she couldn't do the things she liked to do. But as the water of life saturated her life, as she started to feed upon the goodness of God, after she started to realise that God had called her, she realised that she didn't have to wear a facade. She didn't have to do the things that everyone else expected her to do. That she could simply ask God for forgiveness and believe that he had. And I asked her the question, "Why have you taken all your piercings out?" And she said this: "When I was younger, I got abused. And I thought if I made myself ugly, no one would touch me again." And what happened was this. This is the truth of the gospel. She exchanged her ugliness for God's beauty. She put on a garment of praise and she said, "I don't need to walk out in camouflage." I'm putting words into her mouth, but this is the expression. "I don't need to be someone else. I can be me." And that's what happens when God calls us, isn't it? Jesus and nothing. He'll speak to your heart. He'll send you where you need to be sent. I want to encourage you today that we can have a childlike faith. We can say, "Here I am, Lord, send me." In Mark 8, I do have a few scriptures. I'd like to get through them if I may. Mark 8, verse 34. "Then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, 'Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their own cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. Whoever wants to lose their life for me and for the gospel will save it.'" And that's what happened to that young girl. She wanted to lose her life and she gained her life back. She died to self and she lived to Christ. And that's what happened when we got called, isn't it? Now, some of you may not have had the piercings. You may not have had the clothes and the rest of it that the world looks down on, depending on where you go, that the church looks down on, depending on where you go. But God knows the heart, doesn't he? And that's what he's interested in. So when we believe that we've been called, we need to understand afresh that we've been sent, but we've been sent with a message, and that message is good news, and that means that's the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. That means repent and believe, salvation is yours. Simple, isn't it? Yet there's a stumbling stone that's put in the way. Just as the Judaizers did in Paul's day, it happens today in our lives. Why? Because we at times can't fully grasp that it's a free gift. We can't fully grasp this grace. We think, well, yeah, Lord, I do accept your grace. I have received your mercy, but surely I have to do something. Well, the Bible says that the law is written on our hearts. You know, I meet with a man monthly and we pray over a financial contribution that God has called this person to give. It's not because it's legal, it's because it's written on his heart. When you choose to financially support this ministry or any other ministry, it's because it should be written on your heart, not because you feel under an obligation. God wants to remind us, I believe, and certainly remind me, that I've been called, that I've been chosen, and I've been sent. In Psalm 65, verse 4, blessed are those you choose and bring near to live in your courts. That's you, if you've heard his call and you've received his truth. We are filled with the good things of your house, of your holy temple. You answer us with awesome and righteous deeds. God our Saviour, the hope of all the ends of the earth. God's called us. God's called you, and he sent you. Matthew 4:19. Come follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out. See, they're not my words, they're his words. Do you think he was only talking to the 12? When he said, come follow me and I'll send you out, do you think he was saying just to these 12 people that have now died and they've gone to glory? Do you think it was just for them 12? He said, come follow me and I will send you out. Or is it the commission for all of his people? I suggest as we read scripture, we'll come to the understanding it's for all of us. He says, come. And we say yes. We say yes or no, don't we? See, God loves you enough to give you the choice to choose. Anyone listening to this, God loves you enough to give you the choice to choose. He's going to call, but you can say no. But we've said yes. And if you haven't said yes, today you can. Come follow me and I will send you out. To do what? I'm glad you asked. To fish for people. At once they left their nets and they followed him. Going a little further, he called more fishermen. Come follow me, and they did. And he sent them out to fish for people. This is our time, friend, to go fishing. In 1 Timothy 6, verse 11, but you, man of God, flee from all this and pursue righteousness, goodness, faith, love. Don't be eager for money. It goes on to talk about worldly goods. It talks about the things that we so easily can run after. But listen, we need bread to eat, don't we? We need finances. We need money to pay our way, to pay our bills. So we want to be blessed, don't we? Or don't you? We want to be blessed, but then we can be a blessing to others. But listen what he says. But you, man of God, flee from all this and pursue righteousness. The Bible says that as we give, we get a harvest of righteousness, right standing with God. Righteousness, goodness, faith, love, endurance, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of witnesses. You was called on a certain day at a certain hour, and you said, yes, Lord, I want your grace. You was called. God wants us to continue to pursue, to run after, to fight the good fight, realizing that we don't fight this fight on our own. He's given us the weapons of warfare. It's the spiritual weapons. Our fight is not against flesh and blood, but powers and principalities. We fight the enemy through our prayers, through his word. but I want us to be reminded that we are called and we are sent. In 1 Peter, I have two scriptures left, please bear with me. 1 Peter 1:1. To God's elect, exiles scattered throughout the province of Pontus, Galatia and Cappadocia, Asia and the other one, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. God had a plan and you was in it. It's good news, isn't it? The foreknowledge. You see, nothing takes God by surprise. Could you imagine he woke up one day and he went, oh my goodness, there's a war in Ukraine. What am I going to do? Nothing takes God by surprise. Oh my goodness, Andrew has chosen to do this. Nothing takes him by surprise. See, he knows you by name. He calls you by name. He had a plan and you was included in it. God the Father, through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to be obedient to Jesus Christ, sprinkled by his blood. Read this portion of scripture. When people say that the Bible don't talk about the Trinity, just read this portion of scripture and read it again. And you'll see the work of God, Father, Son and Holy Spirit. See, we're covered by his blood. We're enabled through his word. Let me leave you with this important portion of scripture. In Hebrews 4. God again set a certain day, calling it today. Now, isn't that good news? That God didn't say to us, his people, and those that don't know him, sorry, we're closed. No more salvation. You had your chance. I called you in 1962 and you chose not to come. Can't come no more. Listen to what God says. God again set a certain day, calling it today. Today, this he did when a long time later he spoke through David, as the passage already quoted. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. So let's pray. Let's pray for those that have hardened their hearts, those that are listening who've hardened their hearts, who've in the past said no to God's call. Then he wants to call you again today. Anyone in our room, in our midst, who have never answered the call of Jesus on their life, then today he's calling you. He's calling you by name. And once he calls you, he'll equip you. Once he equips you, he'll enable you, he'll provide for you. God will cause you to do the things that you need to do. God will show you where you can and can't go. God will direct your paths. You don't need to worry about what I say or what anyone else has said. Anyone else says, his word will be a lamp unto your feet. That's the truth of his word. So for those that are listening, I want to pray this prayer today. That I believe truly that those that belong to God have been called for a purpose. Those that have been called to, and been sent out to proclaim this good news to others. We want to be a church that will grow through new believers, that will grow and see testimony of his goodness, that will grow and see men and women born again of his Spirit, and grow and see baptism after baptism. Why? Because now is the time. The harvest is ready. We have a message of unity. We have a message of reconciliation. We have a good news message to preach to whoever will listen. But God sent us out and he's chosen you. So our prayer is this. Father, we thank you for your goodness, your grace and your mercy. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to say yes to your call today. So Lord, I thank you that you've called me again. I repent of my sin. I repent of living my life my way, and I want to live it your way. Forgive me. Fill me with your Spirit. Enable me through your grace. Help me to see myself the way that you created me. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. I declare it in my life today. Father, thank you for calling me. I want to accept Jesus Christ as my Saviour and my Lord. Lead me today and forever. I ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, And all those who so wished to said, Amen. Amen.